All right, guys, we're rolling. And here we go.
Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive. That's H-I-V-E. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Guys, it's only 48 days until Rogue One hits the theaters. 48 short days, and we are getting really close. We've got some great Rogue One news, some new posters, we've got some casting announcements for the new Han Solo movie, and more on this week's edition of the Wretched Hive Podcast, episode 22 for Friday, October 28th, 2016. And we've got the whole gang together. Really excited that we have all five of us together once again. And let me introduce my co-host to you. First off,
sort of.
Well, we actually have there was a sixth host that is a styrofoam head that I'm not going to mention what was going on with that thing before the show. But my co-host was doing interesting things with it. That would be Greg Lent.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was totally, totally not what you think it was. Anyway, hey, glad to be here. Glad you guys have tuned in for another episode of The Wretched Hive. And unlike some members of The Walking Dead, I am keeping both eyes on the road ahead of me, and the road leads to Rogue One.
Well, that's true. And actually, we have a special segment today. You mentioned The Walking Dead. We're going to talk about the season premiere of The Walking Dead because, after all, we are just five guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff. So tonight, we're going to talk about some other stuff.
How can you not talk about that, Steve? Seriously.
No doubt. I mean, I was in a bad mood for like 3 days, but we'll get to that. Also, joining us, our additional co-host, lifelong Star Wars fan, Scott Ivanski.
Thank you. I'd like to say tonight I'm feeling quite moist. Let's go with moist. Sounding good. Whoa. You know, actually, Steve, I want to throw something out here real quick on the wonderful intro that we have. We don't compliment each other enough on this, but I have to say I'm tricked. Every time we hear the edited little intro, I keep thinking that Han Solo part is actually Greg Lent saying that. I have a bad feeling about this. I swear to God, that's Greg talking. That's not Harrison Ford right there.
Harrison Ford does.
I don't always have a bad feeling about things.
Yes, you do. What are you talking about? Harrison Ford does a drop dead impression of Greg Lent. I don't know if you've heard.
I hear that. He did it at the last con, right?
It's pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. Also joining us, the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
Hey guys, it's nice to be back. Really looking forward to start recording with you guys again.
I'm so glad you changed your schedule. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, all those crime scenes were just getting to me emotionally. I couldn't really hang anymore.
The Adventures of Nico Skywalker.
They've come to
a
conclusion.
You were about to blast off that planet too. You came back at a time when you were just about to blast off that planet.
Yeah. I couldn't hang anymore. I couldn't do it. I was feeling homesick.
Well, the last host, of course, we have Dave. Do not, under any circumstances, ever call him Harry Potter.
Good evening, everybody. The blue moon is flowing, and I don't know that I can compete with Blowy the Styrofoam Head tonight, so I'll just...
Blowy.
Blowy.
It's just a double entendre because it's white.
I'm sensing a new mascot for the show. Well, we would
guys,
love to...
we're trying to go for a clean tag here. How can we get a clean tag if you keep coming up with things like Blowy the Head?
Coming up with them?
Well, they just spout out of us.
They just spew. No.
Well, although based on this intro, you probably do not want to connect with us. We would love to connect with you. And Facebook is a great way to do that. Connect with the show at facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. You can also leave us a voicemail. And our hotline number is 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. And very likely your call will get played on the show. And in fact, guys, we did get a phone call, voice message this week. Yep, got another voice message. We're on a roll here. I think this might be three shows in a row.
Please don't have him say anything bad about me.
Well, this one's picking on another one of the show hosts, guys. This is our buddy Chris. Let's hear what Chris had to say.
Wretched Five, Chris here. Enjoying the show. Really loved the last episode. However, incredibly annoyed by the pronunciation Dark Plagueis. Wow. How could it possibly be Plagueis? First, plague is in the name. Dark Plagueis. Plague is in the name. That puts him in perfect company with all the other Darths. Darth Bane, Darth Sidious, Darth Maul, Darth Tyrannus. It makes obvious sense. This is the world of Star Wars. It's not supposed to be subtle. You have characters named Greedo who are seeking bounties. You have exotic dancers named Ula. You even have characters named Zero the Hutt. How could it possibly be Darth Plagueis? Just accept the plague. Darth Common Sense is out.
Well, I'm just gonna open up the phone line to Greg here. Greg, would you like to respond to Chris's accusations that you may be pronouncing Darth Plagueis incorrectly?
He obviously
first
is.
Of all, Chris, thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate your listenership. Please tune in every week. And you know what? You can go to hell. All right? You can go right to hell. Don't mess with my headcanon. I'm sorry there's not a Darth erectile dysfunction for you out there, but it's Darth Plagueis. Just deal with it. All right? Thank you very much. Tune in next week.
Did you just go Darth erectile dysfunction?
I was trying not to be subtle.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow. That's a little uncomfortable.
I have to drink.
That's what she said.
In all honesty, I accept his scorn. It's completely obvious. I don't know why I ever thought it might be Plagueis. It just sounded good in my head that way. So
with the qualifier in my head there, I agree with that.
There you go.
Chris, you are correct. Official. You are well on your
There's
way.
There's lots
to
of things that sound good.
Yeah. Chris, you are. We are not journalists here on the Wretched Hive, and thank God for the state of journalism of that. But if we were, you, sir, would be our ombudsman.
Guys, we do have a second voice message, and I have not heard this one. So we're just going to play this cold. So I'm hoping for a positive outcome here. Let's give it a shot. Here we go.
Hello, Wretched Hive. This is Darth Vader, Lord of the Sith. I'm a long-time listener. I really enjoy your show. I was just wondering if you could please comment on the fact that I look totally badass in that new trailer. I mean, come on. Have you seen my helmet? Please discuss.
Darth Vader calling the show. Wow.
Well, he's right. He does look pretty badass.
How is that even possible?
No.
this is the world of Star Wars, Greg. Yeah. It is not subtle. It's okay.
It almost sounds like he was doing an impression of Harrison Ford doing an impression of Greg inside of a Darth Vader helmet. It was amazing.
There's a little dark helmet there going on too, I think.
I think Vader's been hanging out on planet, what's it, Scarif? Getting a little a different accent going on there. I like it.
Wow. Well, he did look badass in that trailer. I mean, he's right about that, no doubt. Well, guys, we're going to get into a little bit of a different segment here this week. We've got to talk about The Walking Dead, guys. Walking Dead premiere.
Important thing before we go, though. Nico, have you seen the episode at this point?
Yeah, fucking finally. I hate all of you. You guys are fucking pricks. Jesus Christ.
We love you, Nico.
Yeah, well, it's not mutual.
In all fairness, the thread was called Walking Dead Spoilers, wasn't it?
No,
it was called the Christmas party talks or something.
Oh.
Yeah, after I left.
Okay.
Yeah. It was after Nico politely called us all out.
Not like you went away mad or anything like that.
That's him being polite.
Change the name and then the colors appropriately. Oh, Nico, that was wonderful, man. Thank you.
Yeah, and in all honesty, you did not change the color before you left. So I demand that you go back into the group, say you're sorry, change the color, and then leave.
It says something about the group that the immediate response was, did he change the color before he left? No, doesn't he know he's supposed to do that? What the hell is wrong with him?
That's how fucking mad I was.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, that thread went on for, like, you know, 20 lines. It was crazy. I'm like, wow, Nico didn't change the colors. What's up?
And for listeners at home, I just have to back up to explain that for whatever reason, our group has this tradition on Facebook Messenger group chat. Whenever somebody drops out, they have to change the default color.
Right. Right.
Just so you understand what we're all talking about, as if you know what we're talking about.
And before we get going on this, we also need to add a disclaimer here. If you have not seen the season premiere of, what is it, season 7 of The Walking
Dead?
Season 7.
Yeah.
Stop listening right now. Fast forward about 20 minutes and then start listening again, because we're going to give up some spoilers here. So guys, this episode of The Walking Dead, and, you know, it kind of sounds weird talking about this on a Star Wars podcast, but we have to cover it. We were all together, with the exception of Nico, and we watched the show together, and this was an absolutely devastating season premiere. I was in a bad mood for, like, 3 days, and it was not pretty, with Negan laying down the law with our heroes, Glenn and Abraham, getting taken out. And so we talked on Sunday. We almost did an emergency podcast just to debrief and make each other kind of calm each other down, but we didn't get to it. So let's do it now. Scott, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
Being the fan of the show that I know that you are, what did you think about this episode, and have you recovered?
Well, sadly, this is going to become an extremely R-rated episode for us. It was fucking fantastic, man. Depressing as hell, but totally took me by surprise. I was not expecting the two people to actually get killed off in this episode. Two main characters. I was actually shocked at the way it was handled. Since we talked about spoilers, and let's please put this up on the website also when we do this, so if there is Walking Dead fans listening, they know this exactly the time frame that we're going to be discussing this. But the shock value for me was that they took out Abraham first. It wasn't even the way Abraham handled himself, which is another story all to itself, but Abraham getting the bat first, getting Lucille first, and then the surprise factor is they actually went with the storyline from the comic book and they took down Glenn almost word for word from the books. It was like they used the books as a storyboard.
Yeah, exactly. It was the even the dialogue, especially over the part where he was talking to Glenn after he, whacked him the first time, just seems spot on with the comics. Greg, what did you think about the change with, adding Abraham as another victim here of Negan's? And were you pleased overall with the episode?
I was, yeah. If you remember, if we talked about it before, I don't know if it's come up in the past, but I thought season 6 was a down season for The yep. Walking Dead. I did not like a lot of the storyline. I thought it was a lot of filler and not a whole lot of content. So, and I also wasn't a fan of the cliffhanger. I think a good cliffhanger leaves a lot of the resolution in doubt. And there was no resolution that was in doubt. You knew somebody was going to die. It was just the cliffhanger was who it was. And I don't think that's a very good cliffhanger. I think a good cliffhanger should leave you tension of there could be a good outcome, there could be a bad outcome, what's going to happen, oh my God. And this was just like, okay, well, who died? And that's what we waited all summer for. And I think that was kind of a lame cop-out of that cliffhanger, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
But for the most part,
I think that the season premiere was a good one. They paid off who the deaths were. The addition, to back up a little bit, as we took our poll prior to the episode starting, Abraham was my pick for the one to go, and I thought he was the most obvious choice, and they went with it. And then they surprised me a little bit by including the Glenn stuff. And I'm glad that they made it, similar. I don't know about it, I'm glad, but I guess it's neat that they made it so close to the comic book, and it's a nice homage to that book. Is as we all know, the show has tended to just kind of use the comic books as a roadmap versus a straight up construction manual for the show, and that's so it's kind of nice to see that they played that out as it was in the book. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the season. I'm back on again. I was partially off, but I think after the season premiere, I'm interested to see where the show goes from here.
I want to jump in and interject on a few things on this, and I love it. I need to actually address a few things that Greg mentioned. I wholeheartedly support you, and I may not have supported you before. I may have felt that it was fine the way that the season 6 ended, but I agree with you 100% now. Looking back and seeing the season premiere, which I still think was a fantastic episode, not a story-driven episode, more of a shock and drama filled episode, but what could have been an amazing idea was just dropped by AMC, whether it be the producers, whoever. They could have actually shown us Abraham getting killed at the end of season 6, which would have had still a shock factor for everybody who has read the comics, would know that it wasn't Glenn at that moment. But the big reveal would be in the season premiere is to replay those moments like they did, we saw on the show, and actually then show the second kill, which would have been Glenn. And I think that would have been a fantastic idea to show the second kill and show that the readers, look, we know what you want, here's what you want, but we also killed off another main character who, by the way, should have been killed off earlier in season 6.
Yeah, I agree with earlier. That 100% actually, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't that seem like a pretty good idea? Show this kill, have everyone freaked out at the end, the ratings go up through the roof, you think you know what's coming, and then season premiere happens, and bam, you get the second kill, the one that you weren't expecting, even though you were expecting it, especially if you were a comic book reader. That's all I'm saying. But I'm sorry, Steve, go ahead.
No, that's okay. So Abraham took the arrow like through the eye in the comic, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, his role... can we get into this? I mean, I'm sorry if I'm cutting you off, Nico, or anybody else.
I just want to jump in quick. Is there an eye motif going on, or is it just me? Coral gets his eye shot out. Abraham gets an arrow through the eye. Glenn has an eye pop out. What is the fascination with people's eyes on this?
You know what? The eyes in The Walking Dead are like limbs in the Star Wars universe.
Don't forget about the governor.
The eyes are the window to the soul, Dave. The window to the soul.
It's a zombie apocalypse. Nobody has a soul at this point.
That's right.
So Nico, on behalf of the Facebook thread participants, I would like to express my sorrow for our behavior and spoiling that for you. I'm so sorry. What did you think of the show once you got to see it?
I thought it was pretty gnarly, man, to be honest. Like, that was kind of crazy. It was really, I mean, I know that they're graphic episodes and shows and stuff, but that was, like, just really intense.
Well, this was one of the more graphic episodes for a very graphic show. I mean,
that's what I mean. Like, yeah. I've seen other episodes of the show before. It's not the first one I've ever seen, but that one was really graphic.
It was super gruesome, and it's disturbing. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to downplay the violence aspect of the show, but as somebody who has read the comics and was expecting it, and when it happened, especially with Glenna, I was like, oh, that was just like what happened in the comic book. Wow. What got me and what really hit me was the stuff after that, where he's threatening everybody and especially Carl the way he was. That's the stuff that really disturbed me. That's where I said, okay, this show is really just terrifying right now.
Mm. Yeah. So, go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Nico, can I jump in with a question real quick?
Sure.
So you did not know that Glenn was the one who got it in the comics prior to us totally ruining it for you on that Facebook thread?
No, not at all. I don't read the comics. I only watch the show.
Okay, so you...
You guys legitimately spoiled it for me, and I was legitimately very upset with you all.
No, and that's fair. And I'm not trying to unpack that, and I'm sorry to you, but it kind of goes for the broader question I have, and I am curious about this. I felt like the fact that Glenn gets it in the comics was one of the worst kept secrets out there, because they did the whole head fake in season 6 with, oh, look, Glenn fell into the zombie horde and he died. Oh, no, he didn't. He slid under the magical dumpster of protection and actually lived, so we can kill him 3 episodes later like he did in the comics. I felt like the whole season 6 cliffhanger was a big, awful writing cheat. Because of that, because of this idea in my head that it's the worst kept secret out there. Everybody is expecting Glenn to die. Everybody knows this, even people who haven't read the comics. And I felt like that cliffhanger of who lives, who dies, it was just very pedestrian, typical stuff like you would find on a Dallas or a Melrose Place, as opposed to what The Walking Dead usually does, which is have the oh shit cliffhanger moment, you know, 23 minutes in before it goes to commercial, and then you spend the next 40 minutes of the show dealing with that. So I was just, if you stayed spoiler free, I mean, honestly, props to you, but I'm just curious, as someone who was on the other side of it, now that you've seen it, do you feel like it was a big secret and we're the ones in the minority, or what's your reaction to that?
Well, I don't know. I pretty much stay clear of everything Walking Dead related, just because, like, I watch other shows too, right? Like, I'm into the Game of Thrones, I'm into, you know, the Marvel Netflix shows and stuff, and there's always spoilers. So whenever something big like The Walking Dead season premiere, I know that there were, obviously, somebody was going to die, right? So I knew that was going to be a big deal. So I try to stay clear of social media and all the other things, because I knew that there's always assholes on everybody's friends list who does that and spoils everything. But I was just, I didn't think that would be you guys.
Well, can I just say something? We didn't intentionally do that. In fact,
you should have known better than to trust us not to be assholes.
I don't care if I'm an asshole or not. What I didn't realize was that you didn't know this, and it wasn't clear from that thread. So, one, I will apologize, but I'm not going to apologize for being an asshole, because I thought we all knew this. So, I love Nico, but... sorry.
I was just really upset that you guys just went straight into it, like, no warning either, because you guys know that I wasn't, you guys were all there watching it together, and I was the one that was not there with you guys, so I figured you guys would know or not assume that I would have watched it immediately.
Well, I'm going to throw Greg under the bus. He didn't tell us, so.
He didn't tell you that I wasn't there with you guys?
No, I thought you were there, man. I swear to God.
Well, wow. It was a costume party.
Must have been nice.
It was a costume party. You could have been there and we wouldn't have known.
I thought you were dressed up like the Godzilla cake. I'm just messing with you, man. I truly am sorry. I didn't know, and I wouldn't have. I am not a spoiler type person. At least I don't think I am. So
No, it's all right. Like, I'm not I don't hold the grudge at all. Like, I'm not still mad at you guys, but when it was happening, because it was literally, I was planning on going to work and watching it the next morning, and you guys were just soiling it for me right there, and I was like, I can't. What the fuck is actually going on? And I was just so mad.
Oh, man. Well, you know, if we would have known that, there's no way we would have spoiled that for you. I had no idea. I'm so sorry about that.
That's all right. Like I said, I don't hold it against you guys anymore. Like, I'm not still salty about it or anything, but it's just when it happened, that's what happened, and I was just like, I might have overreacted by just getting really mad and leaving like that, but that's what felt about the whole situation right then at that moment.
So it'd be really bad if I told you that Carl dies in the next episode.
Oh, come on, Scott. Don't, not again, Scott.
Damn it.
Well, he didn't apologize for being an asshole, so just remember that.
And also know that Carl will never die. Carl is immortal.
He is.
Yeah, he's got robot eyeballs and stuff, so.
So, but what do you guys think of my thought process? Because I was kind of let down by it. I mean, the intensity of it, the professionalism, the craft in the acting, I mean, highest marks possible for that. But just the overall arc of that season finale into the season premiere, it's a cliffhanger. You're going to wait 6 months to find out that the character everybody thought was going to die actually died. I felt like it was very cheap. I mean, as impressive as it was and as horrifyingly executed as it was, it just felt very cheap and kind of beneath what I expect of the show.
Hmm. I'm jumping in on this one because it this show has a history of doing, for following a comic book that's out there that a lot of us that have read it know about how they handle things, especially graphic nature and storytelling and arc and all that stuff. What I found really great about this is the TV show, as much as it uses, like I think Greg mentioned this, the books as a roadmap but not a strict guideline.
Yes, good analogy.
I like the fact that's how it was described. Greg, you did a great job on that. I love that. Thank you. Make America great again. or make The Walking Dead great again. Here's the thing. My biggest thing is, I think they do a bang-up job with the material that they're given and the shock and the surprise factor that they have to give a strictly TV audience versus the people that are coming in and know the source material. They balance it great. I don't have to have every episode be a story arc or a story-driven 45 minutes, hour-long program. In this case, this show was building up, unfortunately, a bad cliffhanger. It got a lot of bad reviews for the way that they handled their cliffhanger from season 6 to just deliver the goods for this episode. Now, I'm going to add to that real quick, and I'm sorry I'm dragging it on, but here's the biggest thing about this episode. The changes that they did from the comic, besides adding Abraham as one of the victims, is the entire Negan tease with Rick. And it's not just in the book, Negan basically tells him all that stuff in a very condensed manner right then and there after he beats Glenn's head in. The whole sequence of, I'm in charge, this is how the world works now, you're going to follow my rules, and that's it. The way that the TV show did it was, seriously, and I felt this physical presence of just pure draining energy through that whole episode, and it did its job well. They showed us who they killed. It was a shock, horrible, graphic feeling watching that. Seriously, look back at there. You see some unbelievably gross stuff happening. And then, from that point on, it's just Negan telling Rick, I'm in charge, and here's how I'm going to prove it. He's going to kick him out of a camper out in the middle of a horde of zombies, let him nearly die, shoot up a couple zombies, let him nearly die a second time, climbs up on top of the motorhome, jumps off the motorhome, almost dies again. I mean, seriously, there is a total cat and mouse game being played here, and Rick is the mouse, Negan is the cat, and he is basically telling everyone, I'm in charge, I know you're the leader. This is how you're going to convey it to your people, that you're weak and I'm the better person. And he knew how to play it. It was beautiful. The only thing that I had a problem with that episode is they didn't follow one major point of the book, and there is a moment between Rick and Maggie that should have happened. Mm-hmm. And maybe it will happen down the road. I don't know, but it was a beautiful moment in the book that was crazy and out of control and showed that the rest of the people knew that Rick wasn't in charge anymore. So,
well said. Well said. What did you guys make of the Negan forcing Rick to nearly cut off Carl's arm? What did you think about that whole sequence? I mean, I thought that was some of the best acting on the show. And I love the actors on the show, and I think they do just a bang-up job. But, boy, that scene was just so masterfully put together.
Carl. Yeah, and if Andrew Lincoln doesn't get some Emmy recognition next time around, I mean, we may have to take Lucille to the Emmy Academy.
Yes, I agree, Dave. His hyperventilating alone in that sequence had me out of breath. I couldn't breathe when he was choking up like that. I swear, it was terrifying. And the I can't remember his name, but the actor that plays Carl, holy crap. That kid almost brought tears to my eyes when he was saying what he was saying to Andrew Lincoln. Mm. Wonderful.
I got a story to wrap this up, though, that happened at work that I love. But first, I have to make sure I'm not going to spoil anything on Game of Thrones for Nico. Nico, where are you at on Game of Thrones?
I think I'm caught up. I don't know.
Okay, but you're past like season 3, season 4.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I saw the big citadel explode and everything.
All right, so
you got to the point though where Cersei Lannister and Jon Snow hook up and just totally just make out like crazy. You got to that point,
yeah,
right?
That was my favorite
Cersei
part. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, so I have a coworker at the office who discovered Game of Thrones a couple of months ago, and has just been very very leisurely making his way through the first couple of seasons. And he keeps talking about how Robb Stark is one of his favorite characters, and he's really attached. He's really into the Robb Stark story arc. And he's just like, you know, I keep hearing about how there's this wedding coming up. I'm really looking forward to it. It sounds like it'll be really nice. And so I've just been waiting for this to happen for like the last 4 or 5 weeks. And what I didn't know was the guy was also a huge Walking Dead fan. So Sunday, he watches the Walking Dead season premiere with no spoilers. Just gets completely blindsided. Sorry, I'm getting feedback from Scott.
You're getting feedback?
Yes.
You sound like you're in a bucket. All of a sudden.
Okay, so he watches Walking Dead, no spoilers, gets the emotional crap kicked out of him, decides to recover by watching the season 3 finale of Game of Thrones with no spoilers. So he watched, basically, in a 48-hour period, he watched The Walking Dead and The Red Wedding. And he's just texting us, like, I just watched 4 hours of Friends to try to recover. Oh, my God.
It's great. When the Red Wedding episode first aired, one of my favorite little memes that come out of that was something to the effect of, now you know what your nerdy friend was all depressed about 6 years ago. Obviously, because there was a gap of about 6 years between the book and the show.
All right, well, that brings us to this.
It's a little game we like to call Star Wars Choices.
Think of a hard choice you'll face in the near future.
You must choose.
Okay, would you rather be intimate with a Wookiee?
Choose wisely.
Or be intimate with Princess Leia in the gold bikini, but it's the modern day Carrie Fisher?
I just assumed it's a Wookiee.
Star Wars Choices, the Walking Dead edition. We're going to call this Star Wars Choices Walking Dead edition. And so here are your choices tonight, guys. Would you rather allow Negan to take out Glenn and Abraham, exactly how it went down, or would you rather have had Negan take out Maggie and Carl?
What?
Would you rather...
What?
Keep it the way it was, allow Negan to take out Glenn and Abraham, or change it up so that Negan's victims were Maggie and Carl?
Is that even a real question? Like, is that serious?
That is serious as a barbed wire baseball bat, my friend.
What do you think, Nico? Would you rather keep it how it was? Do you want to see Negan and take out Glenn and Abraham, or would you rather switch it up and have him take out Maggie and Carl?
I would rather have him kill Glenn and Abraham exactly as he did. Because I don't think that he, like, I don't understand the, like, love for Glenn that the fan base seems to have. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, he's cool, I guess, but it's like, I keep seeing these posts now that I'm actually looking into it all that are like, if Glenn dies, we riot. And I'm like, really? Like, it's The Walking Dead. They all die. Like, you gotta assume at one point they're gonna die. But... I don't know.
Okay.
I like the kid. I like Carl. All
right.
And Maggie's pregnant. You can't kill a pregnant lady on TV.
Yeah, I'll go next, and I'm gonna side with Nico exactly the same way for pretty much the same reasons. Glenn, I don't know that I dislike Glenn, but he was kind of just there. He was just the guy in the story. He wasn't really doing anything. And Abraham, while he had good lines, his story was done. They had nothing for him the last half season of The Walking Dead anyway. So there was nothing for him that was there. And then on the other side of that coin, there is no way in holy hell you get away with murdering a pregnant woman and a child on TV.
Yeah, no, that just doesn't.
Greg, I'd like to interject with mother dick.
Right?
Son of a dick.
So we miss that. We miss out on that, and pouring the Bisquick in the batter and all that other good stuff. We miss all of that from here on out.
Best
so.
TV line of 2016.
He's pulling a Costanza and he's leaving on a high note, guys. That's what he's doing.
All right, Scott, what say you?
I'm going to agree with them, except I'm going to go with a different reason, because nobody pops an eye like Glenn does. Man, that is some great eye popping.
Man.
Whoa, never seen an eye.
That was gross as shit too.
That was horrible.
Exactly like Negan said. That is gross as shit.
And now we've had to deal with all the memes. You know, oh, what an eye popping show it was. Blah 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 blah.
Oh, still like the Maggie joke.
I don't know what's the Maggie joke. I don't know what the Maggie joke is.
Man, you guys don't follow the thread. You never read my.
I do. I saw it. The chunk meme.
Yeah.
No, that was Sloth. It was Sloth.
Or Sloth. Yeah, sorry. Goonies.
No. We know what Glenn's last words to Maggie were, but what were Maggie's last words she mumbled as he was dying?
See you soon.
I'll keep an eye out for you.
Dave, what say you?
I will make it a clean sweep.
All right.
Just because... I don't see how you kill if you kill Carl, all the memes would stop.
Oh no, all the Coral memes.
And I can't have that. I must have my Coral memes.
It's one of the greatest websites ever.
But yeah, honestly, I mean, my pick was to kill Glenn and Maggie. That was what I thought was going to happen.
Hey, Dave, you're hardcore, dude.
And I was disappointed they didn't, but I have seen. On the internet, I don't know if it's real or not, footage of Negan beating up Maggie with the baseball bat. And I assume if that did exist, that jibes with the stories I've read that they filmed multiple death endings so that even the cast wouldn't know who actually was being killed.
Well, yeah, that's partially true. And I'm going to add to our Walking Dead segment here a few things. One of them is, yes, they filmed everyone's death because of the flashback sequences that Rick is having that mm-hmm. Negan is forcing him to remember or think about what his other friends would look like being bashed in their heads. So
think of what could happen.
Yeah, so Maggie's death and everyone's death was filmed, and we only saw partial clips of that, but it did help enhance the idea that nobody knew what was happening and therefore everyone was getting the bat, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I have a little side, would you rather? And I'm going to throw this one at Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Gregory. So would you rather have Negan go full Lucille on Jar Jar Binks or have him go full Lucille on Glenn? But
Glenn or Glenn Fry?
Is Glenn Fry. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so nice. Much. I'm glad somebody picked that up.
I'm picking up what you're laying down, Nico.
I am going to eat Glenn Fry's eyeball. I'm going to be there to catch it. I'm going to have a catcher's mitt, and Glenn Fry's eyeball will land right in the catcher's mitt, and I will suck on that thing like an oyster. Just so good.
Oh,
I have a feeling we're going to get some complaint calls on this one.
If this podcast doesn't justify our explicit rating, I don't know what the hell people are waiting for.
I'm just not sure why they have an explicit rating.
Did anyone else catch any of the little subtle hints that they'd thrown throughout the episode? Did you notice some of the throwbacks to previous episodes? And also, did you notice the opening credits when they talk about Jeffrey Dean Morgan? Do you see what there's foreshadowing that's happening there?
I didn't see that one.
Okay.
No.
Can we still talk?
Yeah, I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what you're talking about.
But that have a little bit more context.
Okay, in the context of the show, we were asked about doing this, and I wanted to bring up a few quick points. And I know we're a Star Wars podcast, but I'm going to have to go into these real quick.
Welcome to The Wretched Dead.
The Wretched Dead. The show is notorious for foreshadowing people's death, and if you read the comics, you obviously know it was Glenn that died. But in the book, and I brought this up in one of our threads, and I want to bring it up here real quick, Abraham was supposed to die with the arrow through the skull moment. And in the moment in the episode that this happens, it's actually the character of Denise who gets the arrow through the eye while she's looking for a can of Orange Crush, which a lot of people have pointed to that the reference of Orange Crush is Abraham's head being crushed in.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Now, the other foreshadowing was through in the entire season, last half of season 5 and all of season 6, Glenn is foreshadowed as being killed by Negan because he come across multiple sequences of a baseball bat, barbed wire, and then Glenn is the only person that stumbles across in the room when they're seeking out the saviors to kill all the saviors to get Carol back and Maggie. He finds the room where all the Polaroids are being taken of Negan's victims. Heads.
Well, that's not true. That's him and the guy with the glasses, but he sits there and stares at the Polaroids.
Right. The other guy doesn't actually look at it, and I need to go back and double check that on the episode, but Glenn is the one who actually notices the pictures on the wall and focuses on the pictures.
That one
I picked up on.
Okay.
Did you catch the guy when all of Negan's men were leaving with the Polaroid taking pictures of the two of them on the ground?
And I want to thank Nico for pointing that out. That happens right behind Rick as they're leaving. The guy is taking a picture of Glenn with his head smashed in on the ground.
So that must be like a thing that they all do.
The other little note, it's not a foreshadowing, but did everybody catch Abraham flashing the peace sign right as he was about to get his head bashed in?
To Sasha, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's also one more thing. If you go back and rewatch the episode for people who have it on any of their streaming devices or DVRs, watch the opening credit sequence. Wait for Jeffrey Dean Morgan's sequence, and you will see two iconic things that Negan has from the comic books. One is Lucille is in the frame. There is something else in the fire in the background that if you know the comics, you know something horrible is coming.
All right.
I'll leave it as spoiler-free as possible other than that.
Right, because that's how we roll around here.
Yeah, we've already ruined it once for Nico. We don't want to do it again.
All right, so are we done with the spoilers? Should we take note of the time for our listeners who are spoiler-free?
Yep, we're about 45 and a half minutes into the show.
There
that was,
we go.
That was about a half hour of The Wretched Dead.
Well, it's our Halloween episode, so you know what? It's perfect.
Good call. I just have one other video to play that I queued up really quick here.
Carl!
There we go.
Thanks for that.
Had to throw that.
You're
going to
play Abraham saying, suck my ball.
Carl!
There we go. Poor Carl. At least Carl gets to keep his hand.
Yeah.
For now.
Doesn't he actually get chopped in the comic?
No, well, that would be a spoiler if we answered that one way or another.
All right.
Yeah, Rick's the one who's supposed to not have a hand.
Oh, that's right. Ooh, okay.
Hey, quick question. Evil Dead.
Mm. Yes.
Isn't his name Rick? What's the Evil Dead guy name with the chainsaw hand?
I don't know, Scott. What is his name?
Oh, Ash. His name's Ash.
Ash. Okay, never mind. I don't know why it was Rick. I was going to say how ironic that there's another Rick zombies with one hand.
I wouldn't call them zombies. If you really want to get into the lore of the Evil Dead.
Aren't they necromanced, risen undead?
I guess I would almost say that they're more demon dead. You know what? It's Sam Raimi, man. I can't explain that guy.
They're undead, and it's all the same.
All right, guys, let's. Why don't we get into some Star Wars news here? We have a bit to cover.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
This is still a Star Wars podcast, right? We didn't officially change. No. So we had some big news this week. Donald Glover was cast as the young Lando Calrissian for the new Han Solo Star Wars standalone film that's yet to be named. But Donald Glover was cast in the iconic role of Lando Calrissian. This is according to a reading from CNN. Don Glover is joining the Star Wars universe. The acclaimed actor and Grammy-nominated artist has been cast as young Lando Calrissian.
And I'm going to interject real quick. For all my millennials that are listening right now aboard the Millennial Falcon, this is Childish Gambino that is being cast.
You broke up there a little bit at the end, but he's Childish Gambino, yes.
He's a rapper.
Yep, exactly. And in the movie from directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller that's set for release in 2018, the movie will show Lando in his formative years as a scoundrel on the rise in the galaxy's underworld. Sounds very cool. In a related story, this is from hiphopdx.com, Donald Glover was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and he told a story. Unfortunately, we don't have a clip, but he told a story about how his mom said, "Hey, don't screw this up." She said, "Don't mess it up. Don't mess this up, because Billy Dee is like, he's like hers." So that was his mother's reaction, was, "Congratulations, don't screw it up," which is probably how every Star Wars actor is feeling when they come on and try to take on one of these iconic roles. But what do you think about this casting move, Donald Glover? It's a big role. Those are big shoes to fill. What do you think?
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, was he on?
I agree.
I'm sorry.
I love this kid. No, that's okay. I love this kid. I think he's a fantastic addition to the cast. He was on Community on NBC, which was a hilarious show. If you haven't watched Community, go out and watch it. He's also currently in a show on FX called Atlanta that he is writing, which is kind of a comedy drama, and a decent little show. It's kind of heavy, but it's good. It's well written.
Cool. And he's the writer. He does everything for that show. Yeah, writer, producer
on Atlanta.
Yeah, on Atlanta.
Yeah,
talented guy. Cool.
I wonder if they're gonna have him grow a mustache, or if Lando didn't have a mustache when he was young.
The hard-hitting questions that we deal with on the Wretched Hive.
Hey, the important ones.
How can he not have a mustache and a cape?
Well, he's not an upstanding citizen of Cloud City yet, so he might not be all flashy and, you know, 70s pimp.
I just want to once at least hear him say, Colt 45 does it every time.
Oh, you know, if you're Donald Glover, you're just walking around your house looking in the mirror doing that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good addition to this cast, and hopefully it'll be more than one movie. I like Alden Ehrenreich and Donald Glover. They seem like they're going to be a they're going to look great together, and some good casting going on here with these movies. I'm liking it.
Do we have Chewie cast yet? Is there going to be Chewie?
I think it's Zach Galifianakis. He's playing Chewie.
No makeup.
Another cool story this week, unrelated to Donald Glover, the Donald Glover announcement, was, there's a good article on GQ.com about Joss Whedon maybe, possibly, being interested in making a Star Wars film. I know you guys, there's some fans of Joss Whedon on this show, and I got it. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say, yeah, there are a few fans on the show.
Yes. Yes, for sure. And the subtitle of this article, which I got a kick out of, was because you can't cancel Star Wars after two seasons. Fans of Joss Whedon would appreciate that.
Damn!
But he did, of course, the most recent Avengers movie, right?
Yeah, he did Avengers 1 and 2. Which he didn't leave, I think, on good terms with Marvel after 2, right?
I don't know.
Anyone?
Is that the word on the street?
No idea.
I think that's common knowledge that he was not happy with the end results and the way that Marvel jumped in on that. I'll double check that info and put it up on the website. But that is the reason why, the brothers that did Captain America are doing Avengers Infinity War instead of him.
Well, according to GQ.com, the writer here, who is Tom Phillip, or oh gosh, I hate when this happens. Sorry, guys. Videos just magically start playing sometimes when you go to websites. But the article on GQ.com, the new filmmaker-driven freedom the Star Wars story series offers would allow him a huge budget and mythology without having to ride in circles to fit all the moving parts for inevitable spin-offs and sequels. So, pretty attractive for a guy like Joss Whedon, who's super creative and could probably do a lot with Star Wars.
I agree. I think Joss Whedon writes great characters, whether it's TV or whether it's film. I think he just has a knack for writing wonderfully character-driven stories. So you can look at the Avengers. How many people went to the Avengers and loved that film as a comic book movie? You got out of there feeling like, I thought I'd never see the entire Avengers team assembled on screen for the first time, and all of them wonderfully well-rounded, well-written characters. But then you can take a look at the other side of that, look at his television shows, and just show the amount of work, the body of work that he has as a character writing writer and director and producer. I mean, he's just an amazingly talented individual who knows how to write well-scripted shows and movies.
Talented guy. Lot of talent getting into the Star Wars universe now.
Yeah. Fantastic. Let's get him on board. Let's do it.
Let's get him on the show.
Let's do that. That'd be great. All right.
I'll message him right now.
Okay.
Well, guys, let's take a quick break. We need to honor our sponsor for the show, and that is Audible.com.
Yes.
And for you, the listeners of the Wretched Hive podcast, as we always mention every week, every episode, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you an opportunity to check out the service. There's more than 250 Star Wars titles free to choose from, including this one, which is Star Wars, the Han Solo Trilogy, Rebel Dawn. This is written by A.C. Crispin. Are you guys familiar with the Han Solo Trilogy at all?
I am.
Okay. This is A.C. Crispin and narrated by David Pitu. So here's a little sample.
Gesundheit.
With So many ships coming and going, a few humans, a Sulliston and a Duros meeting in a hotel conference room on Cloud City would arouse little interest from anyone. When she reached the meeting room, she tapped out her coded signal and was admitted. Bria seated herself at the long table and formally brought the meeting to order. "Fellow rebels," she said, speaking with the quiet authority of someone who had done this many times before, "I thank you for risking your lives in our cause."
Fun book, great series, check it out. You can download that book for free right now, today, going to audibletrial.com/hive. That's HIVE. Again, that's audibletrial.com/hive for your free audiobook. Check it out.
Side note, Anne Crispin, Anne C. Crispin, is the author of the V series, which they use to base the television series V. I don't know if you guys are familiar with, but another sci-fi fantastic series from the 80s.
Yeah, that's a great, great series.
I'm double-checking that.
Is that the double same checking? AC?
Yeah, I thought it was somebody else, but I could be mistaken. It's been a while since I read it.
Well, while we do some fact-checking, let's get into some Rogue One news here, guys.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
It's grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
Resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance. Request one round elimination. ASAP. Roger, stand one round elimination.
Well, guys, we have some really, really cool posters were released. Lots of Rogue One art and photographs and posters showing up online. And StarWars.com just has all the new Rogue One posters. It's kind of a series featuring some of the characters with what looks to be the Death Star plans, perhaps, projected onto their face, sort of like a, almost like a tattoo, but it's like a sort of a shadow or sort of a light reflection of the plans. If you go to StarWars.com, you can check these out. There's one of Jen Erso. You've got Baze Malbus. Whoa, someone fall over?
Just put that anywhere.
Everybody okay?
We're good. We're solid.
Yeah, Cassie Andor, Chirrut Imwe. I like the artistry of these. And what did you guys think? These are pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked them a lot. I think I put them all up on our Facebook page. So if you want, check us out there. You can see all the posters, and I think they're in high resolution, so you can actually download them as well.
Thanks for doing that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the concept of them all having the projected plans coming across the side of their face like that. It looks like they're in a dark room, and they're just seeing the reflection or even a projection cast upon them. It looks pretty awesome. Yeah. I don't have enough wall space to put them all up, though. Looking around right now.
Well, you're just going to have to get a bigger house there, Scott.
Damn it. I'm doing it.
Got to expand the Star Wars room.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
We also heard this week the runtime of the movie was released. 2 hours and 13 minutes, excuse me.
What? I was like, what is that, a Lego trailer? 2 minutes and 13.
Can't read my own notes here. This article on, let's see, it's movieweb.com. Star Wars Rogue One runtime announced. Is it too short? And, Rogue One runtime at 133 minutes. Very close to The Force Awakens and others. Other Star Wars films. It's actually the exact same runtime as The Phantom Menace. So I don't know why they're saying it's asking whether it's too short or not, but, what is going on back there?
Scott, can you move the bodies after the show, please?
I think he's shaken up after the Walking Dead talk. He's trying to recover from that.
Can we talk just as bros here for just a second.
Let's do it.
Do we need to have every movie be like Lord of the Rings 3+ hours? Is there something, is a movie just bad if it's only an hour and 45 minutes long?
No.
I totally agree with you.
But it's definitely where the market has gone. I mean, for a long time, if a movie was over 2 hours, it was considered not marketable just because the theaters wanted to be able to show something 5 times. And if you got to, you know, a 2.5 hour, 3 hour movie, you can only show it maybe 4 times. And Dances with Wolves was actually one of the first movies that really kind of broke the mold and showed that a quote unquote Hollywood studio movie could be a box office success, even though it was, you know, significantly longer than, you know, 125 minutes. So yeah, they all just kind of go there now. And I think for our generation, we still kind of look at a movie and think of it as like a 2-2.5 hour commitment. But mm-hmm. that is definitely not the case anymore with folks that are younger than us, I imagine.
Yeah, because I, you know, as much as I love, say, Civil War that came out this year.
And you do love you some Civil War.
I thought it was a great movie. Really enjoyed it.
Even though they put the MacGuffin in the doohickey?
Yes. Yes. I really think they could have tightened that movie up and made it better by trimming just a little bit of fat out of that movie. I thought a little bit too long. A little bit too long.
Yeah.
I get that there's going to be a Dances with Wolves. You know, The Right Stuff was the same. The Right Stuff, everybody said, was a fantastic movie, but, you know, really longer than the norm. I think both Godfather movies clock in around 3 hours, don't they?
They all do.
Yeah.
Yeah. JFK, it's another long one.
JFK, another one. But they were always kind of the exception. I don't think if a movie is not 2.5 hours now, they're like, it's like Rogue One, only 2 hours and 13 minutes. What the hell's wrong with this movie? I think we need to get editors more jobs, I think, because we are sorely lacking editors in Hollywood.
I agree with you. I really do. It doesn't have to become the norm. I like the fact that I go see a movie every once in a while that's 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 45 minutes, 3 hours long. It's great, but I don't need every film, and I certainly don't need a Star Wars film that way. As much as I love Star Wars, I just don't need that. You can tell a nice, clean, well-edited film in, you know, some would even say 90 minutes, you know, hour and a half.
The flip side of that, I kind of wonder, though, is that movie prices are so much more, even accounting for inflation, than they were, you know, 20 years ago. Mm. I mean, 20, 25 years ago, you would go see a movie and you would pay $6 or $6.50 in that range. And now the ticket is $10, $11, $12. Are you really going to feel satisfied and want to go spend that money if it's a 90-minute to, you know, 105-minute film?
Okay.
Right?
I got to jump in on this because this is driving me crazy. Look, I get it. I get it. I'm against all this crazy raising the prices and inflation and all that nonsense. But just because my dollar isn't the same as getting, like, let's say a 4x4 at In-N-Out versus a Super Gulp at 7-Eleven, I mean, I can't justify that. That's ridiculous. Just because I'm paying a little bit more doesn't mean I need more film in there, especially if it's crap film. I just want to make sure I have a good, solid, entertaining movie.
Would you pay the $12 to go see the 3.5 hour version of Heaven's Gate, or would you pay the same amount to go see the 90-minute version of Clerks by Kevin Smith?
Clerks, I'm in it.
Well, it kind of begs the question with Star Wars, a movie like Star Wars, where fans are going to go see this movie even if it's horrible. I will see it probably more than once, even if it's terrible. So do you?
I mean, that's what I thought about Episode 7 the first time I saw it. I was not impressed immediately with it. Like, yeah, it was Star Wars, and I'm going to love the universe and everything. But my first reaction after the end credits rolled were, cool, it's another Episode 4. But I had to really watch it 3, 4, or 5 more times to fully appreciate how it is its own movie and how different it is. But I think with this movie, with Rogue One, you know, all the other episodic films, they have episodes, you know, 1 through 7 through 9 now, to kind of wrap up the story. With Rogue One, this is going to be the only one that we get. You know, maybe there's so much story to tell you can't fit it in 90 minutes, and there's not going to be a Rogue One episode 2 to follow up to finish it up.
This is why I appreciate Nico being on the show. Maybe we've discussed this, but I didn't know that opinion from you, Nico. I went into episode 7 almost scared. Like, even though I saw the trailers, love the trailers, there's always been a part of me as a movie fan that knows that trailers can show you a lot and fail miserably when you see the film. But going in and especially with the bad taste that was left in my mouth from episodes 1 through 3, It's neat to hear your opinion on that from that point of view. I mean, you technically grew up with episodes 1, 2, and 3. And I find it fascinating that you went in with that type of hesitation to episode 7. So I
didn't go into it like that at all. I went into it with an open mind, and I was really excited to see what they were going to do with Star Wars in the future.
Okay.
It's when I left that I was like, oh, cool. Like, that was fucking A New Hope. Like, we have a new Jedi who doesn't know what they're doing. We've got somebody missing that they've got to go find. We've got a new Death Star that we have to fucking blow up. And we've got this bad guy wearing a mask. And, like, he kills a beloved character when there's just the two of them out there. Like, it was just over and over and over again. I was like, this is just A New Hope for a new generation. Like, I don't understand how it's different, but it took me watching it multiple times to really appreciate, you know, how it's. I think it was more of a nod to the original as opposed to like a remake, the way that I felt that it was when I left watching it the first time.
Right. I want to touch on that. That's what I'm kind of driving at, is that idea. Like, when I saw it, I was more overwhelmed with the fact, maybe I didn't even consciously think about the fact that it was almost a rehashed version of A New Hope, not until at least the second or third time I saw it. It may have been there, but I didn't really start to manifest that later until I started to talk about it with some of you guys. That first time was just this overwhelming joy, like childish joy, that I was seeing this movie that just represented what I felt when I was 5, 6 years old, seeing A New Hope for the first time. It was a wonderful feeling to see it in the theaters and not have that, like, the fear went away after the first 10 minutes of that film, and it just kept feeling the feelings of just overjoy and excitement just kept getting bigger each new scene that would come up. That didn't happen for me during the prequels. The initial feeling of episode 1 was, oh my god, I'm finally seeing a Star Wars movie after whatever 17, 8, 19, 20 years, whatever it was. But at one point, I started to realize, this isn't good. There's serious problems with the storytelling and the characters, and oh my god, what is happening? And it wasn't the feeling of my childhood was being destroyed, but it was like, it almost... this is going to go out on a limb here, but it was almost like the childhood of the people that would be experiencing what we all felt in 1977 is not going to be the same experience for these prequel films. And it felt that way when episode 2 came out, and it felt that way even with episode 3, even though it got a little bit better. Not a lot, but a little bit better. Episode 7 came out, and I felt like, oh my god, that feeling is back. I'm feeling it. It was a good film, a solid film that told a story. And you're right. It is basically a rehash, and we've all discussed this, of A New Hope, just for a newer generation. And I thought that was a great way of continuing the story of Star Wars.
Well, see, you say that about the new generation of people watching the new Star Wars in theaters for the first time and not getting that feeling. But you also got to think that they're ignorant to that feeling that you had watching the original trilogy, because that would be the first Star Wars experience that they would have. And that's why we have those poor, unfortunate, lost souls out there who appreciate the, you know, episodes 1 through 3 and like them more than the original trilogy. It's because they don't know any better. Yep. They weren't raised with good parents who showed you episode 4, 5, and 6 first.
Right.
and taught you to, you know, to love those. They just went into it like, oh, there's new Star Wars, and you watched them, you know, ass backwards 1 through 6. So yeah. It's, you know, nothing's ruined for them because they don't know any better. And to them, I say, I feel so bad and sorry for you, but I'm glad for you that ignorance is bliss.
That's actually a great point.
Kudos to your parents, whoever those people are. They sound like good people.
Yeah, I know. You know.
I know. I'd like to meet
them. My dad was a douche, though.
Oh, man. Guys, we also had a fun little video release this week from Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren is posting videos on YouTube, and he reviews the trailers for the new Star Wars movies, and we actually played one of his reviews a couple of months ago, I believe. And well, guys, he's back this week with another. I'm not going to play the whole thing; it's about 3.5 minutes long. But Kylo's got some strong opinions about this latest trailer, so let me play this segment for you. This is Kylo Ren reviewing the latest trailer for Rogue One.
Loving the vintage all black Death Troopers.
I understand.
Although that's a strange designation, isn't it? Death Trooper? Aren't all Stormtroopers technically Death Troopers? They don't really do anything else besides kill people.
So that'll give you a little taste.
Matt is back.
Highly recommend going out, checking out io9.gizmodo.com. Kylo Ren rips on Death Star and new Rogue One trailer reaction.
I think those are both really funny, actually. I really get a kick out of both of those.
I do, too. But I seriously want Kylo Ren on our show so we can debate his commentary. His own movie states that FN, whatever, 2137, whatever he is, Finn, used to be a sanitation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're killing people in the toilet, I don't know what else. He wasn't killing people, right?
That's a good point.
He's killing shit, man.
Oh, that theory just got flushed.
Oh, damn.
It's going right down the drain.
Right in the crapper.
That one stinks.
I need to plunge this from my memory.
You know, you guys are the reason I drink, right?
Oh my god, the dad jokes in a room full of dads.
I want to just wipe that whole conversation away.
Wait, I thought this was Star Wars. There's too many Klingons around here.
Well,
Anybody else?
He was just reaching way back for that one.
Kylo torqued the moonfish on that one.
I was going to come up with another one, but I can't.
I'm not sure why that's funny, but it's funny.
That's exactly why it's funny, because it's not funny at all.
You can.
Oh, God.
Got it.
But A can't.
I missed it.
And can't.
That
had
one,
both.
That one leaked right past me.
Oh,
well, guys, did you see
this? We've just
this?
Lost all of our listeners. Sorry, folks. We're back.
Oh, my God.
I still, the favorite part is the awkward silence in between as we're all thinking of the next line to say. It's the best.
Yeah, I'm best watching our viewer count go down on Facebook Live.
Yeah, well, this isn't even up, and we're losing listeners already.
We're down to 34 active listeners.
That's the fucking force right there. Ed.
I feel a disturbance in the force.
Well, guys, talking about disturbances in the force. Yeah. Thank you. It gets to this time in the evening. My voice is my inner teenager comes out.
I remember my first beer, Steve.
Yeah. Mine was about 3 hours ago. At Indiegogo.com, which is a sort of a fundraising site, there's this there's a school that is starting up, and the school is lightsaber combat. That's right. Ludo Sport is starting up a lightsaber combat school in the U.S. And let's see. It says Ludo Sport is the first and widest international sporting school created and developed around lightsabers.
Did you say whitest or whitest?
Wide.
Widest.
Wide.
I was like, wow, why are we reporting on this?
Do we? What's the over under on a cease and desist letter from Lucasfilm and Disney?
What? As long as they don't use the word lightsaber in their advertising, they're fine.
Well, it does say lightsabers.
Oh, they're screwed.
Yeah.
What if they spell saber with an E? Like the Europeans would.
I think they're still screwed.
Oh, saber, S-A-B-R-E is what they have to do. Instead of S-A-B-E-R.
Lightsaber.
totally different, Vanilla Ice. Totally different.
You can really throw Lucasfilm off by throwing a hyphen in there, too. So
there you go.
Or what if they spell it L-I-T-E? They're not, you know, the full calorie. This is the lightsaber.
What if they call it a laser sword?
There you go.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
Science katana.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, and even they have their ranks, too, and they call them younglings and padawans and Jedi and then knights and then masters, so.
Yeah, I'm smelling lawsuit.
I don't know.
No, that's all the shit from the bathroom talk 2 minutes ago.
I thought we wiped that one clean already.
Jesus.
All right.
Oh, man.
All right, well, guys, let's end the show on a high note. We can't really go much lower.
Too late.
Well, there's this super cute video, guys, of this dog. I couldn't help but play it.
When all else fails, go to puppies.
Go to puppy video. Yep. Nerdist.com, this video of this dog, it says... the title of the video is Barking Dog Sounds Just Like a TIE Fighter from Star Wars. So I'm like, okay, this cannot be real, but you've got to hear this barking dog. So I'm gonna play the video. I'm gonna a little bit here, so
I feel like it's a pug.
Shows the dog walking into the waiting room up to his master. Okay, I'll be quiet now. That's the dog. There you go.
Tell me you have an audio clip of a TIE fighter making a flyby.
Well, what's funny about this video is they throw in the scenes of the TIE fighters attacking the Falcon. Over the dog barking. Pretty strong stuff.
I need to record my dog Torgo, actually, because I think he could give that dog a run for his money on his TIE fighter impersonation.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Better do it quick while Torgo is still with us.
Oh, before he becomes...
Oh, come on. Is Negan going to go after Torgo? What's going on, man? It's the very lonely Luke tweet of the week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
All right, Senor Greg, what do you got for us this week?
I'm kind of glad you actually interrupted me. I was about to say something really bad about my dog, and he's sitting right here with me, and he probably would have peed on my head or something like that. So, let's move on to Very Lonely Luke.
not Blowy the Head.
Oh, man. Well, this show started low and went downhill from there, I'm telling you.
So Luke this week, guys, just from today, actually, he's thinking about the practical things out there on that island. He says, from earlier today, the Force is actually kind of useless. I can call out to my sister from miles away, but I still can't use it to order a pizza.
Oh, man.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
Womp womp womp.
Wait, no, sorry. Wompa wompa wompa.
Test. Does Very Lonely Luke post every day? Does he have something posted every single day?
Pretty close to it's about every day or two. You know, sometimes it's every day during the week. Okay. Pretty close to it.
Is speaking of Very Lonely Luke, is emo Kylo Ren still up and running?
Oh, Greg's in Carbonite.
Yeah, we may need to emo Kylo Ren is a crack up too.
Just curious. We should have some Very Lonely Luke battling emo Kylo Ren.
Oh, that comes in episode 8.
They hit their heyday. Go ahead, Jacob. Yeah, I think they both hit the kind of heyday early on in episode 7, and there was Bad Father Han too, and they all went back and forth for a while. I think all those kind of Twitter accounts kind of died out.
Bad Father Han? I haven't read that one.
You got to check it out. You'll love it.
Yeah, he was hilarious. He was there, especially the early tweets he did were really, really funny.
Oh man,
I didn't even know if that guy still tweets or not. I don't know. He was actually my favorite out of all.
So wait, Sarcastic Rover is still tweeting, and Bad Father Han and Very Lonely Luke can't even make it like 18 months.
Bad Father Han's got to be up there.
It's a robot crawling around Mars making snarky remarks. I mean, that joke was over 10 years ago, and it's still pumping them out.
Now, wait a minute. Are we? I guess then that means, is it time to retire the Very Lonely Luke Tweet of the Week segment? Is that what you're saying? Is it time to retire that segment? Are we tired of that?
Oh, hell no.
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 No, okay. You misread what I say, my friend.
Okay. All right.
Do you have highs and lows?
I just want to make sure it's still entertaining.
Oh, yes. It's good.
It's actually somewhat more entertaining when it's not entertaining, actually. Because then we have to try.
Hey, some of Carson's best moments were when the jokes bombed.
That's true. Good point.
Good.
One raise of an eyebrow and he'd fix everything.
Don't make me resort to having cats drop off my ledge and hit the side of the table again, okay?
Carl!
There we go.
Carl!
Well, that was a different episode, guys.
That was a different episode.
It's fun to change it up.
Yeah. A little talk with some real talk with some real folks about some other real topics.
Oh God, I'm glad this is audio only.
What is that image? I just noticed that. Donald Trump. I can't even describe that. I'm Donald Trump doing something. Anyway,
it's not Kanye with Kanye. So,
episode 22 of the Wretched Hive podcast is officially in the books, and we're glad you made it this far with us. 22 episodes, if you did, assuming you're listening and you're not angry and unsubscribing to us. We're sorry about that. But if you're not, we would love to hear from you. Give our voicemail line a call. 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. Leave us a voicemail. Very likely we'll get on the air. You can email us, wretchedhive@yahoo.com. Facebook, of course, mentioned at the top of the show, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. You can find us on Twitter, Wretch Hive Pod. And maybe the best way to find us is on iTunes. Search your iTunes podcast feed for The Wretched Hive. And subscribe to the show. Rate the show. Give us a rating on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to get better at this. So tell us how we're doing. 5 stars, 1 star, any star. We don't care. Just leave a rating. And we would love to connect with you. So, guys, final thoughts on this week's show.
Show was great, but I think we should
Coral! Get
the angry callers to call in. I'm all for the angry callers.
Oh, man, if this one doesn't do it, though, if we don't get angry callers from this
don't
one.
Don't mess with my headcanon.
Guys, have a great couple of weeks. We'll see you. May the Force be with us all.
Please.
Suck my balls.